Hi, welcome back to another episode of the 801 podcast. I'm Melissa.
I'm Kit.
I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Charles.
And this month we're actually going to be talking about healthy fandom. I know we said at the end of last month's podcast we were going to do the you buy list, but we wanted more time to be able to read everything. And now that a lot more is on Futakiya, thanks to them for licensing so much of this year's you buy list, we can read it legally. So while we attempt to do that, we are doing healthy fandom as our February episode.
So what fandoms are people in?
So many. My Hero Academia.
Ooh, yeah.
That's a fandom.
So Kit and I are both in the Fullmetal Alchemist fandom,
yes.
More specifically in the Elrecest fandom.
Lolita as well.
Yeah, we're also the EGL community, yes. I would say. The Elegant Gothic Lolita community. Yes. Let's be real clear about this.
The fashion.
This terminology is a problem for some people. I guess we're all in the Fujoshi community.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it for me.
I'm also in the Yuri on Ice community, I guess would probably be my next biggest one.
Voltron, unfortunately, sometimes. But, sometimes they're all right, depending on who you talk to.
Steven Universe, kind of the same.
Yeah.
Most ones I've met in person, great. Angels. Online? Eh.
Yeah.
Some fandoms that we're in that were much more active, so some of our, trauma, maybe from 15 years ago, and maybe we need to let it go.
Some of these are more recent.
I know that Voltron's more recent, Yuri and Ice.
I've been in Good Omens since forever.
Yeah.
The Ball Jointed Doll community is also kind of on the EGL with some of its drama.
Yeah. So some of these things may not be as applicable, but I think that a lot of what unhealthy fandom is, and what a lot of good healthy fandom is kind of been universal. It's just maybe the platform itself has changed, and maybe the behavior has gotten better or worse, but the same we're still running into the same types of fans.
I think you mentioned the platform. I think it's important when I meet fans at cons and in person in general. If you're in front of someone, they generally will talk to you respectfully, and you can have disagreements and walk away kind of peacefully. But online, it's that anonymity and the corner of
I don't know, I find people in person are too chicken shit to even really fight even disagree.
Because a lot of times
sometimes fandoms forget that real life has exceptions.
Yes.
And that you just, because you've got the people who are so hard set on one thing, antis are if you like this character in My Hero Academia and you're over 18, you're automatically a pedophile, and it's now hold on a second.
I'm in trouble.
I mean, that kind of shit, it's that does not carry over into real life at all. But, I mean, it's lately, you see these issues where it's artists who are above 18 drawing 18 plus art are getting in trouble because minors are going around and saying, well, this is a minor character, and just because you say they're 18 in your art doesn't count, and so now I have to report you for pedophilia. And it's what? Where is that line of thinking coming from?
That's... And you've never ever read anything 18 plus because you're not 18. So obviously you've never broken rules.
So you're following
either.
All the rules. So that's...
Wait, how did you access the 18 plus art, you minor?
Exactly.
Oh, I just learned about it.
Yeah. My friend told me about this person and their 18.
So we're going to start out kind of by going through some of our own personal negative experiences and talking about the unhealthy aspects of fandom so that then we can talk about what actually is good about fandom and then how we can be healthy within it. So who has a horror story they would like to share?
I have a horror story. And so this is with the Welcome to Night Vale fandom, which I really wasn't super interactive with. But a few years ago, the live show came to our city. And so I, of course, went. And before the show, the voice actors would always come out and greet the people standing in line, and which they did. They posed, took pictures with everyone. Well, in my slight excitement, I didn't get my phone out until near the end. Snapped a picture of the main character, Cecil, and then he went inside and we continued to wait. So posted it on Instagram, had a pretty quick just, oh, hey there, Cecil kind of thing. Go to the show, had a great time, get home, check my Tumblr, and all of a sudden, I have so much hate mail on Tumblr. Just so much. I had people canceling me and all this stuff, and I could not figure out why. And then I go to where my picture had been reblogged, and the girl who initially reblogged it was oh my God, how dare you take a picture of him without asking? You're a horrible human being. You're stalking people. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. What the hell? So I had to go through all this, and, you know, it was a ton of anonymous messages. You know, responded to like two of them, just said, hey, clearly y'all are off your rocker. This has been a mistake. I messaged the girl, and I was like, what the hell is your problem? Was at the live show. He had just finished coming by and posing for pictures. And the response I get, now let me backtrack a little bit. Her Tumblr profile said she was like 15. Mm-hmm. So her response to me was, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't even realize, despite it was in my tags, but I'm just so protective of him. Okay, this person is 15 years old and Cecil was like in his 30s or something. You do not need to protect a grown man.
He doesn't want it.
He doesn't need it. I mean, yeah. they're on
it. He didn't ask for it.
He didn't ask for it. He's not like, gosh, I hope my internet protector's out there making sure no one's taking candid shots of me. It was just, it was so wild. And it took forever to stop getting these messages. And it really, like, discolored the fandom for me. Because, like, at that point, I kind of stopped listening to Welcome to Night Vale because I just had this bad taste in my mouth from people. And, I still can't listen to it. Mm-hmm. I've got more if y'all don't have.
Yeah, so y'all have a few. Please. So I'll share some real quick ones. One of the ones that sticks out for me from like the ye old days was being an Ed Al shipper. Mm. You get exposed to a lot of hate, especially, I mean, not mostly from like the Ed Wynn crowd, the people who can't allow for any kind of slash in their Fullmetal Alchemist at all. And I always felt like that was like the types of criticism I was getting are people who would come and comment on it, which it's like, why are you commenting on this if you don't like it? Where it wasn't just like, oh, I don't like Ed Al. It's like, they don't like gay things, which means they don't like gay people. It really felt very homophobic to me. And at one point I had made this, like, of course this was like 2008 or something like that. Yeah. So I was like, probably a social justice warrior in some sense. I made this fan art that was like, if you hate El Recessed, you hate like gay people or something like that. Like, real just out there, like, maybe was a little bit too far.
Might have been a leap of logic somewhere.
There were a few steps I was taking that maybe the fan art did not convey, but my sentiments I felt like were there. And immediately the next day I logged into my DeviantArt and half of my Ed Al fan art was gone because it violated community guidelines.
Oh God.
Because they said that the art was underage. But I drew a lot of like Ed Al from like Conquer Shambhala because I am a 2003 or nothing like person, like none of this manga and Brotherhood bullshit. And so I immediately like went into DeviantArt and like put in a ticket to be like, hey, I think this was wrong. Like, I can, like, these characters are over 18 in this like specific universe. And they were like, well, it doesn't matter if you say they're over 18. Like, we can't verify that. So they had it. So everything
goes.
So, like,
I watched the show.
Yeah.
Well, so I lost half of my stuff on DeviantArt, which, you know, was a big thing. As like in that type of that year in the community, you know, you're like, oh, half my work's gone from where I was trying to show it to people. That was just kind of like, because I had pissed off. It was like early anti-culture, I guess, because I pissed somebody off and they immediately reported. I was like, these two things are totally like, there's no way they're not related that I post this fan art. Happens.
It was absolutely related. They were,
yeah,
they were not nice people. Cause like I also, when I wrote some of the fan fiction, I remember I'd get people, and who knows if it was one person pretending to be more than one person. Because, I had someone who, like, flamed my fan fiction. Of course, I was, like, 14 at the time. So, of course, I'm going to fight you back. Like, come on. I'm an angry teenager, too. And so they flamed my fan fiction. I don't remember what they said. And I told them, why the hell are you reading this? It literally says in the author note, don't read.
Yeah.
And,
no flames.
No flames, please. And yet they did. I can't believe they disrespected my author note. And then they brought in their quote-unquote older sister who was like, you know, I was going to say I respected you as a writer until I found out you were writing this. And I'm like, so you read my other stuff? So technically you still respect? Like, it was very odd, but they would just send multiple people coming in.
Yeah.
Just throwing shade, really. And it's just, why?
Anime fans implode good things in their lives in multiple ways because of fandom being toxic. So I've met people who have spent their last dollar to have the best cosplay and get themselves to a con that's not cheap and then have no money for food and don't know how they're going to pay rent.
Oh my gosh, like, I see those posts all the time.
Throw your life I actually know those people too.
An EGL, like EJD.
That you're starving, like literally starving yourselves. Like, I don't know if any of you know Samurai Dan, who goes to a lot of cons and does...
Samurai Dan at his wall?
What?
Wait, I know you knew Samurai Dan! Okay, we went to OnCon a few years ago. Samurai Dan was one of the featured guests, and we were going to play Cards Against Humanity with Samurai Dan and his wah, and we're like, what's his wah?
In the panel books.
And that was like his name was Samurai Dan and his wah, and we're like, is that his sword? Is it like the wah? His waifu, but it got cut off. Like, is it the wah, like the way of the sense of Japan is wah?
I feel bad because she has a name. It's Jill.
I know, but
that would have fit. Even just J-I, well, no, if it's wah.
Samurai Dan and his wah, Ifu. Yeah, no. It was, oh so God. Now we still laugh about Samurai Dan and his wah and his two gorgeous Akitas, which his, also didn't make the cut.
This is part of the story, though.
Okay, okay.
So he was demonstrating how to train some of his dogs, talking about, like, the dogs need a certain type of training and what they can be used for and how they've been used in history. And he was handing out, like, dried meat dog treats. And for some reason, Run Row, they were just disappearing. So there was a kid who was literally eating the dog treats because he hadn't eaten for like over a day. He had spent his last money to get to the con. He was like fairly young. And he was like starving, like literally hadn't eaten. And just to even get to the con, he had saved up, like not eating at the con, probably not eating before the con, just so he had a cosplay and could afford the tickets. And Samurai Dan is like, oh my God, no. And he like... Him and a couple other people took and got this kid a meal, and they like sat him down and they're like, kid, this is not how you live your life.
Yeah.
Like, fandom is great and I'm glad you come and I love that you love the panels and that you want to see us, but like, you can't die for your hobby. Like, that's insane.
You gotta prioritize.
I'm glad it wasn't Samurai Dan's wall that was starving.
Yeah. Hate to see a starving wall.
I thought we were... I thought Samurai Dan was the only one starving.
No.
Yeah, this is something that I knew people like this in high school. When I was a part of the anime club, there would be people, specific members that we could not talk them out of it, would go to A-Con every year. And they wouldn't have a hotel room. They would be there all 3 days.
From Oklahoma.
Oh, no, this wasn't from Oklahoma. Okay. I had high school here.
Okay, so this is from Texas. Okay, yeah, so it's local.
Yeah, so they were local. But they would get dropped off at the convention. They would stay there all 3 days.
Jesus.
They didn't have a hotel room.
Which means they didn't shower.
They didn't shower. They didn't have food. Oh. They used the con suite, which is like a secret room that you have to find every year and gives you free food. They would live off of that, and thank God they have that.
That's for con staff, though, isn't it?
No.
There's like a cosplay concierge, or what is it? I don't know.
It changes. There is one specifically for staff.
Yes. Okay.
But they would have like a con suite that was like supposed to help you if you were like, you know, you had a medical condition, you were about to faint, and you know, you needed food, or you're dehydrated, stuff like that. Like, it was for really... emergency use only.
People would live off of those little finger sandwiches they provide, and they would go there all 3 days, and they would sleep in the video rooms, which is why there are rules. But they would sleep wherever they could get sleep at, and I'm just like,
I mean, I have another horror story that really scared me, and I'm glad it didn't end badly. I found a girl crying at one of the Colossal Cons in the hallway. She was young, didn't have enough money to get a room, but found a bunch of other people and got a room together, but there weren't enough keys to go around.
I did that so many times.
They all passed out drunk. She's not 21 either. And she doesn't have a key and she can't get in. They won't let her in because she's not on the reservation. And she's just, there's guys going by saying, hey, you can come back to our room. I'm like, nope. I'm like, hold on 1 second, because I was going to wake up my mom, because she'd go to the, and he'd be like, hey, there's some kid we need to take care of. My mom's like, what? And then I go back out, but she ran to someone she knew who was female, so I'm like, okay, you sure you're going to have a place to sleep? Fine, I can live with this, but I'm not letting you run off with some 30-year-old dude. I'm like, put yourself in that kind of danger where you're willing to go off with an adult man because you have nowhere else to sleep. Why would you do that? Like...
Yeah, sometimes, like, conventions, because there's such the allure of it, and the way that people talk about it or they post on social media, it, like, they take on this mythical status, and so people, they want to go, and maybe they're not prepared, and then they don't know what to do when they get there, you know, it's like, it's hard. I really used to resent the fact that my dad took me, in the sense that it's like, no, I should, like, you know, when you're 16, you want to be treated as an adult. You're like, I'll be fine. And my mom's like, no, you need to have your dad go with you because it could be unsafe. And lo and behold, I'm very glad that he was there.
Yeah.
And so it's like when you get older, you realize that, like, no, that was actually the best situation because it prevented me from coming into contact with any of the bad parts of, you know, fandom or like con culture where they might take advantage of you because I was naive as fuck as a kid. Like, there, even as a young adult, like, it wasn't until I feel like I was really in college that, like, some of that naivete, like, went away because you, like, get out on your own.
He even watched hentai with you, right?
Yes, my father did. trying to stay up for the BL, and all we got through was the Yuri and the hentai. I couldn't stay awake for the BL, so we went home. So, yeah, my dad's pretty awesome in that regard that, you know, being able to take me to cons and, like, put up with all of that weird bullshit. but, I mean, it's just, like, that, I don't know.
That desire to, like, be, like, it falls into the Ida bags and the crazy cars. You have to have all the things proving you are the bestest fan.
Yes, which, so my, the big toxic story that I want to talk about is Anime Fest 2017.
Oh, yes,
which many of us are survivors. So that you know, sentiment plays into everything because that was the year that they had the Yuri on Ice guests, and that was the year that you have thousands of people who want to get an autograph
all from around the world.
From literally all around the world. Australia. People from Australia, people from other parts of America, Japan. people from Japan, and you have guests who are taking much longer to sign autographs than usual. So instead of getting through...
They were like the drawings.
Yes, they were drawing for every person. And these are guests that you absolutely, as con staff, cannot tell them to speed up. It was very clear after day one that they were doing it the way they wanted to do it, and they weren't going to do it faster. Mm-hmm. And so the problem was that the convention changed the way the autographs were going to be allocated every day. Like, there was a different metric to how you could, like, get them in terms of when you could line up, where you could line up, what you could do. So you couldn't really plan for this. And some of us who were local had planned for months. Some of us who had flown in for this from, like, far away had probably planned for months, and everybody had in their mind that they were going to get the autograph because everybody who was, like, coming in from far away said, well, I've flown in from Japan. Like, I'm a big name fan. So I should get this autograph because I flew so far to get it. And then those of us who are local, it's like, hey, just because I drove 20 minutes doesn't mean that I'm less of a fan. You know, like, I have my own reasons for thinking I'm a big name fan. And then you've got all of these people, hundreds of people, thousands of people who want an autograph, and you know that only 60 people per day are going to get it. So there's probably only about 200 people who got autographs out of a con that we definitely know based on the data saw like 2,000 or 3,000 more people than usual that year. And it became really toxic because
before Saturday,
Friday, there had been a fan who was able to get two autographs. And she had posted it online.
She got two the same day?
No, not the same day. She went Thursday and then she went back on Friday. Which, you know, on the one hand, if you can do it, we did it for Bowsy and Hana, went back and got multiple autographs because we could. And if you can, okay. And she got through, so she theoretically earned the autograph. There were so many fans who weren't getting an autograph, though, that it looked really bad, especially when she posted about it online. But everybody got really upset and started to hate on her, which is equally not okay. And so, like, I was very upset that it happened in the fact that, like, I you know, conflicted feelings of, like, hey, it's really bad that people are, like, shitting on her for doing this, but I don't think that she should have been able to get two because it was so clear so early on that people could not, like, so many people were not going to get the autographs. Like, they should have done a policy of one autograph for the whole weekend and to get more people through because, you know, it's like, okay, yes, one person got an extra autograph, but there were only like 200 that were going to go out the whole weekend. And then Saturday, it was there was like people who cried in front of police officers to get through. Is that okay? There were people who pushed their way in line to get through. Is that okay? Well, I mean, when I was working the line, there were people who were trying to do all kinds of things.
Someone told me that at some point they all got kicked out of the area and they weren't even part of the Yuri and Ice line.
Yeah.
So just like the police just were like clear.
Well, it was chaotic. There were people who were removed by security for good reason.
Yes.
Throwing a tantrum and actual physical throwing things.
But apparently some people got swept up in it that didn't have anything to do with it.
And that's just unfortunate collateral damage. I mean,
Saturday
it was
the worst day.
Yeah.
But what the big issue was is the con was not prepared for this. No. Their autographs had always been just line up. It's fine. They should have done a ticket system. Mm-hmm. They should have done a lottery system. They should have done a first 60 people who line up in the morning. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, like, Thursday, if you got there the earliest, you got an autograph. Saturday, they did not let you line up early.
Well, no. But Thursday, mm-hmm. they had also cut off the line, and then they told us to leave. Yeah. So I left with
And some Cho, people didn't.
And then there was a group of people behind us who did not, or in front of us, who did not leave. And mm-hmm. they apparently later had negotiated to get first placement on the line on Friday.
Yeah. Which is...
And so it's like...
So you basically lost by following rules.
Yeah, so Thursday mm-hmm. through Sunday, I followed the rule. Thursday through Saturday, I followed the rules. Sunday, I tried to cheat, and Cho did get a placement in line, but the line cut off before her.
Still cut off, even though
I cheated, because I got there early enough that morning to see what they were doing, because if you got there early enough, they told you where to sit so you mm-hmm. could get in line.
Yeah.
If you got after a certain point, they told you, we don't know what we're doing yet. Mm-hmm. Because they'd already made the decision about who was going to get autographs and who they were going to tell. To prevent there to be the large fishbowl situation.
But it was a Saturday. Saturday that was dangerous. I mm-hmm. was in the mass, and I decided before even people were chosen for the autographs that I was going to leave because I was afraid mm-hmm. for my safety.
Mm-hmm.
And I was terrified for the volunteers, and I wanted to be nowhere near it.
Because it was like... Fire marshal needs to be called levels of, mm-hmm. like, unsafe.
They weren't allowing people to line up. They said, we're going to start line up at 5. When you tell 2,000 people we're going to line up in this exact spot at 5,
oof.
You're going to have people trampled.
Mm-hmm. Well, what they did for the autographs is they told us that you couldn't form a line. So people started to congregate mm-hmm. in front of booths like MEK because it's not an art table and pacing. And then they said, you can't stand here. They saw what we were doing, so they made us move. So literally you have a whole room of people who are walking, and that's why we call it a fishbowl, because it looked like a fishbowl, fish swimming around schools of fish.
Yeah. It was shark cycling.
Because then the thing is, like, well, you got to be somewhere because you don't know where they're going to start calling, so you can rush. And of course, people rushed. They divided the line. Mm-hmm. That's when people started to cry to try to convince the security guard.
Yeah.
And it's like, A-Fest that year was just a really bad situation.
It was. They were completely unprepared. Like, I guess I was lucky because I didn't have to deal with as much of the dangerous chaos, because I literally walked in, looked at that shit, and turned around and went to a photo shoot because I was like, nope. Yeah.
But it's really hard, like, if you feel like you're a fan deserving of it, mm-hmm. to deal with the fact that you don't get it. And I'll be honest and say, it really hurts because I do have people who say, well, you should have gotten one. And I'm like, well, then you should have helped me get one because you clearly could have helped me.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, it's not me trying to be egotistical, but it's like, if I feel like I deserved it, there's other people who feel like they deserved it. We're all in the mm-hmm. same situation of either we got it or we didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you have to think about, well, what do you do after that? Like, how do you deal with the fact that it just didn't happen for you? But it happened twice for somebody else.
It
happened for one person and maybe they're not into it anymore. Like, I've wondered that. I was like, do these people still really care about Yuri and Ice?
Yeah.
You know?
It's kind of like when we went to Comic-Con 91. There was an Ema that I wanted of Yurgi because I'm the biggest Yurgi fan. and I was there and I still don't have it. It's one of the two charms I'm missing of him. Mm-hmm. I have every other Yurgi charm except for that. And I was there in Japan when they were handing it out and I still don't have it. I'm like, someone has this in their closet and they don't even care about Yurgi.
They don't care.
Well, and with Comic-Con, we had tried to line up to get some items and they didn't happen. And I can say, okay, well, I should have taken the first train. I know what mm-hmm. I probably could have done to try to get better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anime Fest. I don't think that I really could have done anything differently, short of actively cheating or being more aggressive, which I do not feel comfortable doing. So I feel like I did as much as I could.
Well,
and I have to live with that.
And it's like, I even tried to like find, you know, people that I knew were in the know to get in. And these people were so convinced that because it was Japanese guests, it was not going to be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And so they weren't mm-hmm. willing to help. And then they saw what happened and they were like, oh man, I guess I should have helped. It's like, no fucking shit, my dude. Like, it was just madness. It was a big clusterfuck, and unfortunately it's left a bad taste for a lot of people.
I think it brought out a lot of the negative aspects of that fandom.
Yes.
Because it became an issue of like, well, who's the most important fan, and then how do you judge that? And unfortunately, you can say, okay, whoever spent the most, then it's not fair for people who could not have afforded to spend the most.
Yeah.
You can say whoever waited the longest. Okay, that's one way. You can do a whole lottery system, or you can just, it's like, you know, it's hard to quantify somebody's level of fandom because it's so individual and it's so subjective, and it's not really what we're supposed to be doing. It's not what a con's supposed to be doing, to say like who's the biggest fan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you can't do that. But it's one of those like difficult situations in fandom that you have to deal with, because you're going to keep running into it with, mm-hmm. with, you know, these big fandoms where they're super mega popular and suddenly you're all competing for a limited supply of things.
Yeah. The dark side of fandom.
The ugly side.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I didn't realize there were like that bad of tantrums being thrown, like a shit being
thrown. I saw someone carried out by a police officer.
And yeah, I saw somebody who told the story that they got in because they cried at the police officer.
Well, and I mean, I saw this one lady that was just screaming and yelling, like sort of toward the guests, but it was probably at the con. I was like, those guests are never going to come back here ever.
No.
No. That's, yeah, ever. That is the...
And that's the worst thing is like if...
There's other reasons too, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. No,
but like, a whole bunch.
Like all the people, and it wasn't just them on the stage either. There were other, there was My Hero, or was it My Hero? Yeah. People that were up there at the same time?
Yeah, they were. Yeah.
I think so. It was
before My Hero took off.
Yep, it was before
there was My Hero stuff. And so, like, those guests aren't going to want to come back either.
Yeah. So, I mean, beyond what we've already kind of covered in these personal stories, mm-hmm. is there anything you think that makes a fandom space unhealthy? Like, is there anything inherent that makes it unhealthy?
I mean, policing is just unhealthy in general. I think
gatekeeping,
policing of tags, minute stuff that somebody shouldn't be worrying about necessarily.
Yeah, I guess worrying about how someone else is enjoying the fandom is just why? Are you enjoying it in your way? Great. Why does it matter how someone else is? Like, literally, because, and that, I mean, that conversation even comes up in just, like, general politics, too. It's like, why do you care how somebody else is living their life if it's not affecting you?
And going to the point to, like, threaten to contact the police or, like, dox them or do stuff that, like, crosses into their personal life.
Swatting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that is just, I do not understand that mindset of wanting to, like,
ruin somebody.
Yeah, like, why? Because they ship someone you don't of a fictional pairing? Oh, no. Like, that is so beyond unhealthy.
Like, well, it creates a culture of confrontation then where people are either going to be, like, very ready to say, like, fuck you, and then to not necessarily see the other side, which you also don't want. Like, I don't think we should have to see the other side on antis, but, like, it doesn't allow for nuance there at all.
Yeah.
Because you're always on guard. Or you're just going to be discouraged from posting, so you're not going to want to interact with the fandom, which is what we see with the Voltron fandom.
I ghosted for the most part in all of my fandom. That's why I don't have a lot of horror stories, because I had one person message me once about something that I reblogged incorrectly because I didn't know how to blog, and I never blogged anything again.
Yeah, so you made an honest mistake and somebody jumped on down your throat.
I was like, I don't want these fuckers talking to me, so nope.
Well, it completely ruins...
It's like 0 to 60.
Yeah, the Voltron fandom is very much, it's like, oh, well, they're under 18 and you can't ship them and all this other stuff. And then because I like a ship, I'm obviously like all of those other terrible people that treat other people ridiculously. Oh, you like Clance? You must hate cheap shippers, so I hate you. And I'm like, I have no problem with cheap shippers. Go ahead, ship them together. I don't care.
And that's the thing. It's like you get labeled automatically without any like... You know, any
introduction. Like, I just like these two together. I don't care what you like.
Yeah. Because there's a lot of presumptions that happen based on anonymity instead of, like, the type of stuff that I feel like people always say they don't want to happen in person. Like, don't judge a book by its cover. But it happens so much online.
Well, because you can get away with it.
Yeah.
It's anonymous.
Which is awful. Like, and that's the whole thing about online fandom is it's the most toxic because there is the anonymity and... You can, people fucking dox you just for shipping something wrong or...
I hate even more than that, because that I feel like it doesn't bother me because I know they're wrong. But what bothers me is when people invalidate your experience because it may be different than someone else's. So they'll come up to you and they'll be like, well, you're not a real fan because of X, Y, or Z.
Yeah.
And I'm like, my thing is I don't need to know every single detail to enjoy this. If you play a video game, you're a gamer. If you like a anime, you're an anime fan. I don't care if you haven't seen Death Note or, you know, if you haven't seen My Hero. If you just like One Punch Man and you're like, hey, I'm an anime fan, that's great.
People feel like they then have to justify everything. Yeah. And that's where you have with the anti-movement where people feel like they have to come out and like... talk about things that they weren't ready to talk about, like their own abuse, just to justify why they like shipped something or said something. And for some people, they may not have that justification, and they shouldn't have to have that justification.
You shouldn't have to justify what you like.
You should just, like, there's metaphorical cost of entry, like the gatekeeping. You need to write this kind of fan fiction, this many, and you need to know the fine details of exactly what happened in episode 3 and watch these 10 top rated animes, or you're not a true fan, or if you didn't play these games, you're not a true gamer, fake gamer girl. There shouldn't be a cost of entry. You should just be able to do things.
There's...
That also gets into physical costs. We talked about people going broke to show, like, I am a true fan. I have all the... I am a hypocrite. I collect all the things. I have issues. I'm trying to stop and moderate, but I have Ida bags. I'm sorry. And I collect plushies. And I like all the things, but I also know when I, like, I see something at a con and it's, like, it's $200. I'm like, nope. Or something.
Well, in some communities, the gatekeeping is actually necessary. And on the flip side, if you see people who are, like, mad at the gatekeeping. And I see that in the Edabag fandom where we... The bare minimum gatekeeping we do is we define Edabagging. And there is a level of what Edabagging is. If you don't meet the criteria, you can call it an Edabag, but we're not going to let you post about it on the Facebook group or something like that. And so you have to have that gatekeeping to keep whatever that community is pure. It happens in the ball-jointed doll community.
Absolutely.
In the EGL community.
Yep.
We have to define what Lolita fashion is.
Because if you're not wearing a Barbie and call it a ball-jointed doll.
You cannot.
They keep the purity of the fandom in a sense, and it's not to like keep it so that we can't have diversity. It's to keep it what it was supposed to be originally in some loose sense.
But rational, you're not telling someone, like, if they get a knockoff bag from China and put in some basic keychains, you're not like, oh, that looks cheap. You don't
know.
I'm That's just telling them it's not an Ida bag. Well, if they're...
Depends on how they did it.
There's
very
asterisks, and we will... Edabagging is a whole other thing.
Yeah.
But for the point of what I'm trying to say, I guess, is that gatekeeping for some things is bad. Gatekeeping in some communities is necessary to protect the integrity of the community.
Well, and to protect the identity
of it. On the flip side, people should not get as upset as they do about that because it's literally just trying to protect the definition of what it is.
Because, like, if we...
Not to kill your enjoyment.
Yeah, no, it's not to kill your enjoyment. It's to literally say, like, listen, the EGL fan... Or fan of God. EGL community is this specific type of Lolita. It's not, I have a fluffy petticoat and nothing over it and a frilly shirt. Like, I'm sorry... That doesn't meet the certain...
Yeah.
You look cute,
but it's
not
Lolita
fashion.
Maybe
consider a different fashion community because this is not the one.
You can't label it that. And it's like, I hate to be technical, and I got into it recently with somebody at a con about, like, what is BL, basically, and can you call a certain sports anime BL? And he was like, that's really technical. And I'm like, but you don't understand. I have to be technical to protect these communities because of what they stand for, who they're for, and the history of them.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's just like sometimes gatekeeping has to be there because otherwise you let what is essentially a hobby devolve into multiple kinds.
It actually, for me, keeps some fandoms healthy because it defines the space and says, okay, for like Edabagging or EGL, this is the like-minded space of everybody who wears this.
Yeah.
It protects from having the people who are not as interested come in and try to change it in ways that are not for the good, because I want diversity in things. I want these communities to grow, but I don't want them to be like not what it is, but what I came here for.
Right.
You know,
because it a lot of times it's going to devolve if you open it up to too many people. And especially these specific Edabag, Ball-Jointed Doll, EGL, they are founded on the fact that you are spending money. You are spending a lot of money. And if you just open it up to interpretation, you're going to get a ton more people, because there's already still enough people in there, that are like, well, I wish I could afford to do this.
You get, like,
so-and-so
the Lolita at heart.
Yeah, like, I'm a Lolita at heart, but I just can't afford to spend the money. And so I just think it's unfair that they charge us. And then it just devolves.
Then you get a lot of spam posts. And it's like, you're trying to cultivate, like, a very specific community there.
It's,
rules aren't always bad.
No. But making up rules for a fandom, like, well, you're not allowed to ship these two people because so-and-so is traumatized and so-and-so is part of this thing. And it's like, but I think they're pretty together.
It's like telling somebody, well, you can't wear pink. It's like, okay, well, you can wear pink, you know, that you can absolutely do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. In general, I don't really like labels, but labels can be necessary to find your people, you know, whenever.
Yes.
But so the first time I ever went to an anime convention was in 2011. And it was right after I'd finished college. I hadn't found a job yet, so I had a lot of free time. So I was like, you know what? Anime Fest is Labor Day weekend, and I have a lot of time. So I ended up volunteering at registration. But I was walking around the con during one of my off times. I ran into one of my brother's friends from high school, and I was like, hey, what are you doing here? Blah, blah, blah. And I saw, and then a girl walked by, and I don't really know anime that much, that girl from that one show where she just basically has a bikini top and panties on and that really big gun. And,
Gurren Lagann. Yes.
Gurren Lagann. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And he turned to her and said, free hug? And she was like, no. I was like, well, that was a little rude. But actually, he was... He was a creeper. But knowing him as I knew him, I knew he wasn't in general a creeper, though that was a totally creeper thing to say because she was walking around almost naked and he's like, I want to touch you.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's
that. Have been an
boobs.
I want your boobs on my front.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I want to touch your naked back.
Yep.
Ew. And also, he had a very unfortunate name. His last name was
Oh, no! Oh, buddy.
Yes. Okay. But the next thing was I saw all these people walking around. And don't say what it is because I'm going to just say the interaction that I had with them. Like a ton of people dressed very similarly but all slightly different. They had like a black t-shirt on, then gray face paint. They had these like orange, red, and yellow horns. And like there was just a ton of them. They were everywhere.
My face is very sad right now.
So I walked up to someone and I said, what are you guys dressed as? And they're like, Homestuck? Like, who are you? Where have you been? Are you living under a rock? First of all, that's not even a fucking anime, okay? Right? So this is an anime convention. I don't think you have, but the way they were so disdainful, like what the thoughts I had in those two interactions were, I thought coming to an anime convention, I mean, considering how nerdy it is to be part of the anime community, certainly in my high school, it was the nerdiest thing you could probably be into.
Yeah.
And we were a high school of nerds, okay? We love math,
anime
okay?
We are the redheaded stepchildren of the nerd family.
We love coding, and we love math, and we love Science Olympiad. I mean, we're talking about in a school of nerds. Anime was like the nerdiest thing you could like. Okay.
I'm very proud now.
And so I was not part of that. And in fact, the club died my sophomore year because not enough people. But anyway, so I thought going to this thing, because those were, you know, at my high school, those were the most inclusive group because they were already the most outcast. So like anybody's welcome, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So then I go to this convention and I see these Homestuck people being like, who the hell is dares to ask me what I am? And then this guy, Mr. Blank, you know, and saying something, and that girl giving him the most disgusted expression, which I now realize was totally valid, by the way.
Yeah, justified.
But I was like, man, I thought this was going to be like, everyone is welcome, everyone's included, like, so open arms. And it's already like the walls are up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like when I was.
And I'm not, and I don't feel like I'm inside the wall.
You did brush with a very toxic fandom.
Yeah.
You're lucky you survived.
Speaking of bad fandoms.
Like, you didn't get gray paint on you. We do support Homestucks. There are many in our group. We don't mean to malign y'all, but it was a dark year, 2011.
Oh, God. So. 2011 was just.
Forgive us for what we've said. Sure, you know why we said it.
They know what they've done.
I would like to defend Homestuck because one time I was dressed as Wonder Woman and this guy was being a creep and making fun of me. And a random Homestuck, I don't know what you were, but I know because the gray paint, you stuck up for me. And he was like this little kid and he was like, he defended me. So you know what? There's good Homestuck out there.
That's what we were saying. Is like there are good ones. It's just there were a lot not so good.
Which is why it got a really bad rep. Which, I mean, if you, like, you came into the anime fandom and con culture at a very interesting time because there was the Hitalia wave, which Hitalia was hated at cons because there were a bunch of people dressed up in military uniforms doing things they shouldn't have done with Nazi salutes and giant ass flags that they had no respect for.
And 15,000 panels.
They were very annoying.
Yeah.
Character so in general.
They all moved on to Homestuck, which meant they were getting gray paint all over the towels. And then somehow it morphed into Super Hulock. And by now we're like really far away from anime, but they're at anime cons, which is totally cool because anime cons have like become a whole bigger thing.
Yeah. And
but
anime
you have this tension of these really like hyperactive fandoms, like you've got really passionate people who may not have matured all the way, who are invading these spaces that people thought was for them, and they can't deal with the fact that this space that they thought was for them has now become a much larger space.
That was
and that was a lot of the tension in early 2010s con culture.
Oh, absolutely.
Is that you had, and I mean, you had the backlash to it. You've had people pull back, and like now we don't have ask panels, which is in a large part, not just because of the Super Hulock and the Italian Homestuck. It was like anime I see it for My Hero. I see it for a lot of other things. Mm-hmm. But it was like all of those parts of con culture that were getting away from what con organizers wanted it to be. They've reined it back in to have some semblance of like structure.
But and it was like Sarah mentioned. I mean, you would just see on the panel list just tons of Hetalia Q&A panels. And it was like, why are there so many? And
because it made people feel important. Like that's a large part of like why people did it is. It let them have their own little control over their own narrative, because that's what it was. Is it wasn't just like you're not going to go and have your individual like, you know, ship validated. Maybe you might, but you're really just there for them to validate theirs. So it's a wank session. It's like a safe for work wank session.
It really is.
Everybody with their own opinions. You know, you don't really gain anything from it. So I'm not. We don't really do Q&A, like ask panel type stuff in character.
No. I think another thing that devolved from. So when I started going to cons in like 2002, the people I met had grown up with like, you had to go to a big city and find like a bootleg store to get bad VHS rips of like, or you watch Toonami, right? Mm-hmm. Those are your options. And going to cons, you had access to much more anime because they had showings, and DVDs were super expensive. And you loved everything and everybody. And I felt like you were saying, like, the anime community at your high school was tight-knit because they were the outcasts and they were really accepting. But then when you went to your first con, you didn't feel that. I think with the implosion of more options that... You kind of walk, like, it's great that we have more options we can choose and we have so many, but now you have so much to watch. You could just watch in your genre. Like, you can just watch sports. You could just watch, but back in the day, it's like we all were watching Sailor Moon and Dragon Ball Z.
Because we didn't have as much. So we can become much more segregated. And we're self-segregated ourselves. Yeah.
Well, that's why some of us also defend shows like Gravitation, because it's like, that's what we had, damn it. Yeah. That's all we could access.
So what actually makes a fandom space healthy? Because like this is a good argument about like being able to be in your own particular little niche. Like, I'm fully in just the Ed and Al part of the Fullmetal Alchemist fandom.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like being a part of like a Fujoshi community versus being in an anime community.
I mean,
by and large.
Definitely sounds terrible. Stick to your own kind. Like, stick in the tags of the pairings you like. Don't, you know, venture into the ones you don't like. Don't get curious to see, oh, who's, you know, got an anti-tag for it. Like, just...
Yeah, if you don't like something, don't read it, because, like, you don't like it. Like, you're just setting yourself up for failure.
Yeah, us old fanfic writers had it down. Don't like, don't read, you know?
Not to not associate with people from the larger part of the fandom, but, like, specifically online.
Yeah.
It's an important difference from real life.
I kind of agree, but also disagree. I think you should try things out. Like, if you super hate something, and you know you will, then fine. But if you just... like one thing a lot, try out other things or try to see
other things. That is how I got to where, like, to be fair, you know, I initially went into everything being like, I don't want to read Two Guys. And then I read Two Guys. Yeah. And then I was like, I might like try this one tag and this one pairing. And then here I am. Like, that is kind of how you get further and further, is you have to give things a chance.
But
you have to protect yourself too.
Exactly. And I think one of the biggest things, especially now, if you know you're going to be sensitive to something,
or can't keep an open mind,
or can't keep an, just you may have to just stop yourself from going into something, because sometimes it sucks, but like, if you are easily triggered by something, you have to avoid it, not just for your own safety but others, because who knows how you're going to respond, and it's going to affect other people, and it's just going to cause, you know, a lot of backlash. And it's like, sometimes just better not to do it.
Well, ask yourself, like, what kind of person are you that you don't like something, you're actively still going to seek it out, and then you're going to go hate on other people because they liked the thing?
Yeah.
Like, that to me suggests that you probably need to get some help.
Yep.
And you need to be a healthier person for yourself, because if you can't love yourself, how in the hell are you going to love somebody else?
Exactly.
Amen.
A lot of it is maturity, and and sometimes they're going to, as the person who's being hated on, another thing is, don't start a war with this person.
God.
They're a troll. They're a social justice warrior. There's something that's annoying. They may be 14. You don't know.
They probably are 14.
They probably are some sort of person who's has something wrong in their life that they can't handle, and they're taking it out on you online.
Yeah, because people who are hurting hurt other people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So don't do it publicly. Don't lash out publicly. Just block them and be done with it. That's a part of maturity, is just letting it go. Like, yeah, they hate me as a Fujoshi. Okay, block. You're done. It's gone.
And that's
the
thing. Create your own safe space.
Recognize your maturity level. Also, respect other people's boundaries. If you are not 18 or older and you find somebody's account that specifically says, no people under 18, I will block you, do not get upset. You are under 18. You cannot see that content.
Now, well, at the very least, don't complain about it publicly and don't talk about it. But like, we know that you're viewing it. Like, yeah. I get people who come up to my table for Artist Alley and I heavily suspect they're under 18 and they're talking about like Yarachi. And I'm like, oh, this is a big bunch of yikes.
Yeah.
You know, like I legally am like.
When did you all start?
That's what I'm not saying. I'm just saying it bothers me for them to like publicly disclose it. Like that's like, it's like if they're going to read it, that's fine. I cannot stop them. Mm-hmm. And to some extent, they are safely exploring through a two-dimensional medium. They're not exploring through 3D, potentially. This is great. Safe sex, kids. But I don't, it's like the burden of them suddenly having told me, I'm like, I feel like I'm at risk, even though legally, like, I'm okay. Like, I'm not in any kind of weird area because I'm not selling pornography. I just happen to have a picture of two guys from a very explicit show.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I mean, but it's the knowledge that, like, they've read it, and it's like, I did not want that knowledge. Yeah, you could have not told me that.
Back in the day, we used to not tell people, so you telling me this is weird.
And anybody who gets mad about there being an age, like it's R18 only, is totally underage.
That's the thing, because that's what I'm trying to say. It's like, obviously, we looked at it all when we were under 18. That's how you did it. That's fine. I'm not saying don't do that. But if somebody specifically says on their profile that they don't want you following them if you're under 18, and they're going to block you if you do it, and then you get pissy about it.
You outed yourself.
Yeah, that's on you, my dude. Mm-hmm. And I don't think, I really don't think minors.
Lie better.
With their brains not being fully developed to be better at this kind of stuff. Yeah. I was a dumb as fuck kid.
And luckily, I feel like we were a little bit, you know, we had it a little easier where, you know, you could just find the stuff. You could say, I was totally born not at this time. Yeah, I'm over 18.
Parents were dumber back then.
Yeah, parents were dumber, but now
like, there's fandom parents.
Parents now know how to use the internet.
Yeah, or they went through it, so they're like, hey, I know what you're doing.
These lies that I told would never work if my
family was saying them. No, not at all.
I don't want to say that I guess support people breaking the law and reading things they're not supposed to read, but I do because I did it.
Yeah.
And I don't think that it negatively affected me.
No. Like, I actually think it was a pretty positive influence in my life.
We weren't like posting about it. Right.
I would never tell people. Yeah.
No. And that's the problem.
We were actively trying to make sure our parents did not know.
We were hiding it.
But here's the thing. So now I'm, you know, a 30-year-old woman, and if like a 12-year-old wants to talk to me about something, I feel like that's dicey. I need to take a step back
like, I don't know. It just really, really is. Like, I guess because when I was like underage, I was talking to my peers about the same thing. Yes. I was not talking secretly to people who were 10 years older than me.
In person. Maybe online.
You didn't know.
Online is different. You know, as long as you're not telling me or giving me obvious signs you're underage, I'm none the wiser. And I'm not going to go look you up because it's not my responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, it is on the individual.
Exactly. And that's the thing. It's like you just don't make people, you know, don't get people in trouble, because that's what's happened is like there will be artists who are drawing, you know, the 18 plus, and then a person under 18 is like, oh my God, you're drawing, you know, pedophilia because their characters aren't this. And I saw, and it's just like, you weren't supposed to, though. There were all these signs that said, no, don't do this. This is an adult account. And it's just wild to me because, like, when we were all reading, because obviously we read so much smut and lemons, come on. It was all 18 plus content, but we weren't just out there saying, like, look at what I'm reading. Look at this. Look at all this porn. I've got it. That's 14. You know?
And I'm writing for some of us. Yeah. Not me, but some people.
But, like, I mean, for real, though, like, how do you navigate if you've got, you know, maybe not like
real life.
Online versus real life, and then also, like, maybe not somebody who's, like, super underage, but, like, if you've got large gaps, like, we're not all the same age.
No.
Most of us come from different socioeconomic backgrounds. We've got different ethnicities in the group. We've got different ages. Like, how do you deal with that as a fan? Like, is it a barrier? You know, how do you create a healthy space that is respectful of everybody's circumstances?
I don't engage.
Yeah, honestly, that's... I've just stopped participating short of what we do as a group.
When somebody's underage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
No, no, I don't engage. In fandom. I don't engage at all. I individually message people that I know in person.
So this happened to me with the Voltron fandom because the Voltron fandom is high school age.
They're very young.
And here I am, you know, late 20s, almost 30, and I'm like, y'all are babies, and you're fighting over ships, and I just want to enjoy this.
Just want to see good.
Just don't ruin this for me, guys.
It's I mean, honestly, I just don't engage in a lot of. I'll find a few artists that I know I want to follow because you know they post the content I like, but communicating short of doing stuff through this group, I just don't. It's gotten so messy.
Well, I think that.
I try and like support when I see good things that are healthy, I'll comment then. That's how I react. Don't like the things that are toxic. I only like the things that are good. Like if someone's like, hey, I love this. Yeah, look at this. I'll be like, good for you. Click like, you know, healthy things. Yeah. But if people are fighting, I'm just going to be like, block.
Well, I think that like, I mean, because we're a group of, like, we disagree about ships, we disagree about familial relations, I should say. We have major differences about some of this stuff, but we're all kind of, like, I guess, of a similar like mind about, like, we support legal BL, we're big into, like, giving back to the community through, like, our panels, like, we've got a similar kind of, like, makeup in that we're, like, adult women who like BL. Like, we're at similar points in our life, even if we came from different backgrounds.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important as you're becoming an adult to find those kinds of like in-person communities, even more so than just online, and making supportive. Sure that, you know, maybe not everybody thinks the same way because we obviously disagree, like I said, but that you've got the same kind of like core like values in terms of like what you think about fandom or how you would interact with it, because you need to have at least that kind of support network, because that's really what this is for everybody, is a support network.
You need a supportive network. You need people that respect you so that, you know, when you are getting into like a disagreement, you know where the line is. And you know, as when you're having this, you stop when clearly the other person's getting, you know, upset or like, hey, that you're saying something I really don't agree with. Like, you have to find just a group like that, and it is hard. I mean, we're not saying this is like you're just going to go online and automatically find people, but if you want to protect yourself, you've got to take the steps to do it. That's what it comes down
to.
And you
have to be honest about stuff if it bothers you, like, you know, because, or if somebody just come forward and say like, hey, you know, I don't like the way when you mentioned this, or this makes me uncomfortable, you know, or like, I think that like, that's never happened for us here in the group really, but make like, we check in on each other and make sure that everybody's okay. Yeah. Even more beyond just like, you know, Fujoshi stuff, because we've become friends beyond just BL.
Well, one of the things that, part of getting the right group, before this group, I had contacted some people back when I was in college and wanted to get back into the anime community because I kind of went off the bridge and didn't know anything about anime. Mm-hmm. I met some people who were cosplaying, and they were cosplaying something I was interested in. We were cosplaying from Diablo 3, and I was like, oh, I'm totally cool with this. I love to sew. It's my thing. And so I went with them. They were not the type of group for me. They liked to party. There were drugs and alcohol involved, and I was just there for the panels and cosplay, and I went to all kinds of panels, and they were like, where were you all day? And I'm like, I went to panels, and they're like, oh, I never go to those. And I'm like, why are you here?
Like, that's really important to find, like, people who would enjoy doing the same types of things that you would do at conventions. Like, that's how you know that you're going to be, like, good friends. It's like, you're not on different wavelengths. Because I've done that where, you know, you go to a con and there's people in your, like, party or at your in your hotel who are, like, going to be doing all crazy stuff that you're, like, not into.
They're
it's
like, that's oh, a sign right you go there. Into the rave? And I'm like, I don't like
that. No, I'm going to be in bed by 10 watching the cable that I paid for.
It's like, that's late.
So,
Yeah, no, it's...
And that's why I like this group, because I'm like, y'all are old like me.
We stayed out a little bit later last night than we have recently.
Oh, yes.
Like,
oh my gosh.
I was proud of us because I feel like we've gone to bed at 9 o'clock every night.
I was really impressed. impressed by y'all because I looked at my clock and I was like, nobody's ready to go yet. Look at y'all.
You know, part of it is, I guess, like, because we're not even the oldest in our group, but we're like a certain subset of like around a certain age.
Yeah.
And we have like, we've kind of aged with the group now.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's transformed. And I mean, any kind of like fandom group is going to be organic and it's going to change over time.
And but it does come down to just, you know, valuing the same kind of things, enjoying similar content and how you go about it.
Trusting each other.
Yeah.
To check in on each other and to be like, okay, I trust these people to tell them like, hey, like, I'm not going to be around for this much time, or I need help with this, you know, in my life. Like, somebody help me.
I would say definitely, especially if you're super into that and you rely on this like fandom group, whatever you're part of, as your main source of social interaction.
Or that's how you made your friends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have a backup group or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because if you decide you need to leave it, or if worse, they decide you need to be out of it and just kick you out, or, you know, completely cut you out of their life.
Yeah.
You know, have a fallback.
I think from experience, if your whole life rests on one fandom or one ship or one show.
Friends group even. Like, your personal life.
And I know when you're young, like, I was way too involved in some of the stuff with Fullmetal Alchemist that it was just devastating. Like, that would be my whole life because I didn't have as good of friends in school. Or, like, when I was in high school, it became abundantly clear that my friends and I were not on the same wavelength, because I didn't feel like I could tell them I was gay, because I was like, well, my best friend literally told me I was going to go to hell because I thought that the Muslim kids weren't going to go to hell for being Muslim. So it was a whole bunch. It's like, you know, you've realized I've changed as a person, and my friends that I made in like sixth grade don't fit who I am as a person now. And you know, you need to, it's that tension, and you need to get out of it. So I relied more heavily on online anime communities and like my online girlfriend at the time. And it's like, you don't know any better, but I really should have, like, now looking, I'm looking back and I'm like, I needed a third option where it was not just friends who I don't like anymore and online friends who are not the greatest.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, you bonded over one thing, they're not necessarily going to be the best people to support you.
Yeah.
So and you I need think like it's a good hybrid to have backups of it. And to have diversity in your social and not be too invested in one thing. Because it's kind of like people get into relationships and it becomes their whole person. And after they break up, they have nothing and they get really depressed.
Yeah.
But I think also if you have a relationship with a person or group of people that you value, and then you disagree on something in a ship, like in a show or ship or how you should be a fan, I think in a lot of cases you could probably work it out if you try. You don't need to like cancel people over small things. But I also recognize when people are getting toxic to you and it's just unhealthy that you have to like,
you have to know when to leave.
But I also think people need to, like, sometimes just remember why they got into the fandom to start with.
Yeah, it's, like, it's important, like, especially after the A-Fest thing. I was really upset, but I had to be like, is this going to ruin Yuri on Ice for me? And it wasn't. It was a bad aspect of it, but then I thought about all of the good aspects, all the people that I got to meet who really loved it. And the autograph would have been like the cherry on top of an already like cool weekend of getting to hang out and talk to so many people about the show that was really important to me. So the autograph didn't happen, but it's like, I'm not going to let that ruin this show that I fell in love with. I didn't fall in love with it because I thought I'm going to get an autograph.
Right.
I fell in love with it because it was a fucking good show.
That wasn't your initial, you know, motivation. So
yeah,
it's like,
no,
why
it's not like
you...
I could see. Yeah.
It still had a delicious ice sundae.
Yes.
It really comes down to
cherry. It's fine.
Thinking,
I like cherries anyway.
Yeah.
Well, see, there you go.
But I still want the autograph.
I mean, fair.
But he's Kubo Sensei.
I think when it comes to healthy fandoms, you, in a sense, need to put yourself first for mental health. You've got to establish your boundaries, what you do like and don't like, and then you've got to do what's best for you.
Yeah.
And you will find people who will respect that and you'll be able to form a bond with. And you will also find people who will not respect that and will try to make you feel bad about it. And that's when you have to do the best thing for yourself and cut that out. Cut that toxicity out of there.
Mm-hmm. And fandoms change.
Yes.
So that's something that's important is your fandom might be toxic now.
It could get better.
But it could get better.
Because they could leave.
And then some fandoms
you could outlive them.
Yeah.
Exactly. And some fandoms, because people, usually I feel like the toxic people have a very short amount of time. They want to be seen and heard.
Yeah.
And so they go where
the
noise
is.
Yeah, their attention span is very short.
So
yeah.
Your people are going to be there.
Yeah.
They're still there. Like the Clamp people that are there now, they're having a party in Japan and I wish I could go. But they aren't the people, because Voltron's not big anymore.
Exactly.
They don't care. They're now in My Hero.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Honestly, if your fandom is going to be around, I mean, it's going to be around no matter what. Like,
yeah.
I can still go into the Fushigi Yugi fandom and find people. They are mm-hmm. still there somewhere. But, I mean, it just depends on how long you want your attention to be on that.
Yeah.
Well, and you have to have confidence, too, because yeah. with Premiere right now, there's a lot of noise coming from people who were Trigger fans who are upset that they feel like Fujoshi co-opted their thing, mm-hmm. or people who feel like Premiere is problematic because, well, Leo might be underage or something like that. And, I mean, the older
he's
I've
either
gotten...
underage or way overage.
I have a lot more confidence, which I didn't have when I was younger. And some of that, it's just going to build over time. Like, you can't just say, okay, it's going to happen overnight. But I feel a lot more confident in being able to vocalize, like, why I like a show. Like, if a coworker asked me, like, well, why did you care about it so much? It's like, Gallo Leo, could you not see it? Like, it mm-hmm. doesn't bother me on some level if he says it. Other levels, I'm like, I why are you asking me this? Why am I justifying it? It feels a little bit like I shouldn't mm-hmm. have to justify, you know, like, you just don't believe that I'm, as a woman, could be this big of a fan of, like, a Trigger thing, really.
Yeah.
But... I'm more confident in being able to say, like, okay, it doesn't matter what other people think. I'm still going to love this movie. I'm still going to go see it 6 times because they haven't gone to see it 6 times.
My experience with Good Omens has been interesting because I was a fan in the fandom when the book was the only thing we had. And I've been talking to the same people, the only people who are writing fan fiction, and there's, like, 6 or 7 of them, and that was it. Like, I've been following them since, you know, high school. And we've all been here, and now that the show has come out, they're like, we live, and I'm like, yes, we're back.
It's like Mushu coming back from the
exactly.
Second coming.
We have been waiting for this validation for so long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But one of the things that happened with the new show that I feel like got shut down by the older fans real quick and by Gaiman himself mm-hmm. was a lot of the fans were like, you're queer baiting us, and we're like, I don't think you realize how long this goes back. This book started in, like, the 80s. And you have no right to talk.
Yeah.
So a lot of it was just, like, us going, Gaiman himself said they love each other. And however you want to define that, go ahead. Yeah. We're just going to be here.
So speaking of queer baiting, do you think that there's anything we specifically as Fujoshi can do to create a safe space in our community, which is a different community than, mm-hmm. you know, anime fandom mm-hmm. at large?
I mean,
just be kind to one another.
I feel like mm-hmm. if somebody, like, let's say you get somebody who suddenly realized they're pretty into BL because they shipped characters from, like, a sports anime, mm-hmm. Haikyuu or something, and they're like, well, I don't know where to find, like, actual couples. Like, we can mm-hmm. always provide, you know, recommendations, which we do. I mean, we have it in our panels, but I think doing stuff like that, like helping these new wandering souls who are like trying to figure out, like, well, I think I like this. What do I do? Mm-hmm. Where do I go from here? Mm-hmm. You know, having an open door.
Knowing when to gatekeep and who to gatekeep for.
Absolutely.
Don't gatekeep for other Fujoshi who are really just trying to find their way. And I have to tell myself this a lot. Gatekeep for the guys who are trying to, like, come for your things.
Yes.
Wait, what? Who are these people?
Trolls
are people who just, like, I had the interaction at a con recently where a guy, I mean, like I mentioned, was, he didn't want to believe, he was like, Yuri on Ice is BL, and he couldn't wrap his head around when I was like, no, it's a sports anime. It's like, I'm trying to tell you what BL is. It's a genre for women, by women, with male-male characters, like, in love. Like, gay romance does not always equal BL, because he was trying to conflate Yuri on Ice with BL because BL is bad. Like, I knew that that was his line of thought. And it's like, BL is not bad. It serves a specific purpose. It's the same argument that we've gone over so many times. He just doesn't get it. And it's like, in either case, you think you would never watch Yuri on Ice because you think it's BL, because you think BL is bad. Because you only want to watch BL if there's traps involved. That's literally what he said. And I was like, so there's transphobia here too.
Yeah.
Which I couldn't even touch on because I was like, I can't even right now that you literally just uttered those words to me.
Yeah, we don't want anything to do with
it. I feel like... Yeah, so
gatekeep. Those are the people to gatekeep against.
There's good and bad gatekeeping. I think also just being patient to provide information. Because, I mean, like you said, we have answered the question of what is the difference between BL, Yaoi, and Shonen Ai so many times.
Yeah.
We're going to have a chart, right? We're
and
still
at least
doing
somebody's
that.
Asking. You have to find the silver lining in the question.
But it's like just, you know, being patient, having information ready, being willing to educate those who just don't know. Because... you know, I mean, even when I joined the group, it took me a while to realize, oh, wait, they're saying boys love because that's a whole term thing. Okay, well, let me catch
somewhere
up.
Somewhere along the lines, the U.S. Fujoshi community decided that we wanted to change the way we were speaking.
Which is,
and I think it's like a certain level of, like, you hit a certain level of, like, hardcore Fujoshi that you're like, no, we're Japanese fans just in American clothing.
Yeah.
You know, like, but you have to teach people who aren't as hardcore, and you're trying to disseminate it down in a way that's polite and not like, I'm just an old crazy lady Fujoshi, like...
Well, and it comes in, because, like, if you just had stepped out of the fandom for a long time and you come back in, things change. Just
It changed a lot.
It really did. I was like, wow. But, you know, just being patient with new people that want to join. And also, as an older fan, just adjusting with some things that may change, or that, you know, the wave that comes in with some of the new fans, you know, learning new terminology, seeing where... Following where your fandoms wind up, like whether you're having to go to Twitter more often, or you have, you know, abandoning Tumblr and getting used to these kinds of different cultural changes.
I think that, like, continuing to remind people that, like, Fujoshi does not equate just fetishizing gay men, and in like explaining that, also making it a safe space for people who are not your prototypical Fujoshi, you know, because we know that Fujoshi are not just straight white women. So we have to allow it to continually be something other than straight white women.
Yeah. And we have research to back that up, too.
Like, actively, and actively just, like, making those people feel welcome so that it's not this exclusionary community, because you can, you know, have all these people who like things that it's like, okay, you're so close to, like, I know you're not calling yourself Fujoshi, but you're a Fujoshi for all intents and purposes, or a Fujin, or... like, you know, Fujito or, you know, Furachi, like all these different terms that we have, you know, to make sure that it's like, and even if they don't want to use that label, we can still coexist.
Yeah.
As long as they're not like anti-Fujoshi.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, or part of it, Fujoshi, that gets ugly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's hard to
watch. Part of it is teaching them that what they like is okay, because part of the Fujoshi problem is when you enter the community and people are like, well, you can't ship this person and you can't do this. And if that's all they're hearing, they're going to think that they're bad for what
they're
going to
get out of the community.
Exactly.
And they're going to be like, well, these people aren't my people. But you're the one who's out there who's going, it's okay if those two brothers fuck. You do that. It's fine.
You do you.
Like, you know, it is not, no bearing on your moral compass. Yeah.
These are real people. Let them fuck.
So, it comes down
that
to...
that is a shirt.
It comes down to just educating, you know, and having... open gatekeeping that is really to protect everyone rather than to purposely keep everyone out. Because, like, some gatekeeping in communities and fandoms really just seems like, well, if you don't like this one pairing, you don't belong here. And it's like, well, that's not how
this... is the only appropriate pairing for you to ship.
Yeah,
otherwise,
it's like, well, that's not how that works.
In fandom, as in life, assume the best of people before you automatically hate them, okay? And... if you catch yourself saying, well, you're not a real fan of blank, or you're not really blank, maybe check yourself.
Yep. Keep it to yourself.
Or, you know, if you're going to think it, have that one friend.
No, it's Thumper's mom. If you don't have anything nice to say,
don't say anything at all.
Yeah.
It's really good to have, like, at least one friend that you can, like, vent without judgment, and then they can kind of correct you where you need to.
Yeah.
But it's like, and I don't preface stuff, but it's like, I know I'm probably in the wrong here, or I just need to vent, and I know this sounds awful, but, like, I have these feelings, and sometimes the feelings are honest, even if they're wrong.
Let's go around and say a thing that we don't like. Well, first of all, bro-cest. Second of all, just putting it out there, and I have to hear about it all the time, but I'm not hating on it, mostly, okay? All right.
Fair, right?
You right.
How about another thing that I always kind of go, is furry culture, fur suits. Mm-hmm. You know, it squicks me out a little bit. But I also have never talked to a furry. I don't know any furries. I don't know much about them. It's just kind of a visceral reaction, and maybe it's not an appropriate one. Maybe it is. I don't know.
I mean, who knows?
Hashtag not all furries.
But you know what you're doing is you're doing the right thing, but just staying away from it.
Yeah.
And not
if
sharing
you don't
your
like,
hatred.
Don't read.
I was going to say, next episode, we confront our fears.
No!
No,
we will not.
So what do you irrationally dislike?
Irrationally sends me into, like, panic, and I have flashbacks from a doctor that taught an ethics class with medical ethics to me. power imbalances, especially when they consider like counselors, doctors, therapists with patients. Anybody, any power imbalances, but anything medical related, even nurses, will send me straight to like the like no. And I'm trying to force myself to read what is it?
10 count. I was going to say you should not read 10 count.
Like everyone says it's real good.
It is real good.
And if I could just,
is it though?
It's really good.
Yes, it's really good.
Is it though?
It is. Yeah.
What about a fandom? A fandom you back away from quickly?
I don't know. I don't know if there's a fandom in particular that I don't like. Mostly because I don't know enough about them to hate them. Mm-hmm. You know, like I hear people talk bad about fandoms, but I'm like, eh, they're annoying. I just ignore them.
Bronies?
Yeah.
Okay, like fine with bronies.
Okay, well that I don't hate.
You mean, right. Fine,
I don't hate that fandom. I hate a person. There's one person in my life who I will never stop hating, and there are reasons, and they know why.
He knows what he did.
He knows what he did.
Yes, they know why. I have blocked them on every social media.
That's healthy, though. That's a healthy way to deal with
protecting yourself. No. Yeah. So that's just mostly one person.
Fandom, you get squicked out by? Or...
I mean, the furries, too, but I literally have a fear of mascots. I cannot stand to be near them. It actually sends me in kind
what
of
what about
panic.
Kigurumis?
Kigurumi's fine. I can see the face.
Okay.
It's not seeing the face.
So it is the idol girls with the fake faces?
Oh, I don't like that at all.
Yeah.
Okay. Another one of those came by the booth at A&T, and I had to look down because I was like, please keep walking. I can't do it. This is horrible.
So that's, it's, again, and I mean, granted, I have met some furries that are, and I've met some that are very nice people, but it's just, I mean, this is kind of hard because, like, I think of, like, tags and stuff, because like there are some things and this one's super specific just to my own personal trauma, like I don't like stories where you forgive a drug addict after they did like really horrible things like that. I can't even in the most fantasy BL, I would not be able to deal with that. Fandoms,
and that's a lot of him in romance too,
and that's why I don't read a lot of it. I mean, I have to listen to what y'all say about certain ones before I go in and and read it, but I do stay, like, fandoms I really stay away from. I mean, yeah, My Little Pony, because I loved the series as a child, so when I got, you know, when it got all revamped and everything, I was super here for it. I do have a Pinkie Pie human version cosplay, and I just try not to, and I also have Princess Cadence, I just try not to interact with most of the fans, though, because they're scary. Yeah. And also, they also do the mascot thing, and that's, you know, we're down that line again. And I think I mentioned earlier, like, I love the Steven Universe fandom in person. Online, I've stayed away from because it gets scary and angry and yelly. So
Yeah.
So I guess for me, like, the big one that I've always, like, admittedly had a bias against is Homestuck, mostly because I was really big into Hetalia fandom, and I always felt like Homestuck kind of, like, came in and, like, this is going to sound weird, but, like, took our turf or something.
Oh my god, it's a turf
wait,
war.
Wait, you're basically going into her story.
Like, I don't know, it was just, like, it just was weird that it was, like, everybody moved on so quickly from Hetalia, it felt like, and then they were equally problematic, and it's, like, we went through all this shit, and then... like, they would still shit on us, and it was just, like, I just never had a really good impression of Homestuck, but I've never actually read it, and I do know Homestuck fans who are perfectly good citizens.
Yeah.
So, it is, I know that this is a completely, like, irrational bias I have, just like I had a completely irrational bias against a lot of, like, Koreaboo and, like, K-pop fans.
Mm-hmm.
Like with Omegaverse, I now listen to some K-pop. It is perfectly fine, so I have to let go of my biases because Omegaverse is not what I thought it was. K-pop is not what I thought it was. I am still scared of that fandom. God help me.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's why I don't really say that I listen to stuff, because it's like, I just don't know if I want to be in that fandom fully. It's like, I just kind of want to listen to music and, like, not talk to anybody at this concert.
You know,
like,
you know what?
But somebody needs to help me and, like, coach me how to live in this universe now.
I get that, because also with, like, music fandoms, it brings in real people shipping.
That's a no. Which is,
my status, like, listening, because I'm going to my first K-pop concert in June. And it's like, I've gotten to the point where I like the band enough to get tickets, but I am nowhere near the level as, like, the hardcore fans. And so it's like, I need to figure out what do I need to do to protect myself? But it's like now, and this is still a bias here, that they're going to like come for me if I'm not like that great of a fan or like,
right.
I just need to know like, what are the things you're supposed to do? It's like you go to a cheer screening. What are the cheers? I need to know that. Like, what do I do?
What light stick can you have?
Do I need a light stick? Am I going to look weird without one? Yeah. Like, do I need to go ahead and like buy some merch or like, right. I don't know. Cause it's a whole new universe. It's like when you go to a con, you know what you're supposed to, like people want to cosplay so much because they know that people do it.
Yeah.
You know, and they'll go to great expense to do it, even if they're not going to eat. I just need like a coach to help me with this like with the K-pop
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, because K-pop was I resented them for different reasons because I was a J-rock fan.
Well, everybody what used to be into the VK and then they all moved on to K-pop.
And then
it feels like there's this great big fandom and there's so much love in everybody's community and then they leave and it's like, what happened? We were still fine.
Well, and it's like if they hadn't all left. Yeah. Then J-Rockers could be getting the same recognition over here that K-Poppers are.
K-Pop are allowed to like the things they like.
I know.
And, that's fine. No,
and especially like now I have to let it go because I also like the things that I used to shit on. So like, and that's me just accepting that and trying new things because I didn't have any phobias against K-Pop. I just thought that because I had a bad experience with one person who would buy K-Pop CDs instead of like toilet paper. And I'm like, hey, but we're rooming together. I need you to pitch in for the TP.
That's
it was the same situation where they would buy fandom stuff and then not have money to eat. And I'm like, this is just poor adulting. And, you know.
And that can color like, your opinion of things.
Yeah.
And that's totally fair because, like, it affected you in a negative way that this person was like that.
And to be fair, she had probably never been taught good money. So I had to, like, also step back and be like, I was mad, but did she ever knew how to do this the right way? You know?
Right.
Because I came from a place of privilege where I knew how to do it the right way in my mind.
Yeah.
You know? So that's just part of me having to take a step back and reevaluate everything. Still irrationally do not like the Homestucks, but now now like Omegaverse and listen to K-pop.
And the amount of irrational association with like someone you hate is an example. So therefore I hate everything they are.
Yeah.
I used to hate someone.
Find one good person in a fandom and then you'll be like, okay.
It is hard to separate yourself like initially when you learn about a fandom from the beginning and you see someone that you just detest in it. It's hard to separate the fandom from the person.
And as long as you're like confronting your biases and you know them and you know when to like remove yourself instead of letting it affect them because you know, like that's the wrong thing to do is to go like off on somebody about it.
And it's hard when you're in a toxic fandom and everyone associates you as like, well, you must be toxic.
No.
Right.
Yeah.
Or they just assume you're just in it because you had a small My Little Pony poster in your office and you're like, oh no. But it's hard. But, you know, again, to make it healthy, put yourself first. Think about the things you don't want to deal with and avoid them.
You have to be your own space.
You have to be your own safe space. You have to be your own police, but you have to do it in a way where you're not also interacting negatively with others. You can't stand there and be like, well, I was abused and so I hate everyone who likes this shit because it looks like abuse to me, so fuck all y'all.
It's like, it's basically like mind your own beeswax and like make sure that whatever like is going on doesn't affect everyone.
Don't enter a space that's toxic for you. And then if you do that for some reason, don't then yell at everyone else for being there.
Shut the door quietly. Back up.
And and the thing is it's like a lot of people want to blame.
Just sit there with the popcorn, the Michael Jackson.
Yeah, just be like,
That's you because you're a lurker the whole time.
We just love to watch people.
That's what content warnings are for. It's not to say you can't do this. It's to say, look, this
here's
is
a heads up.
Yeah, this is a heads up.
People.
Avoid it if you gotta.
And that's the thing. And that's like, pay attention to these content warnings because like one of the things, like I read Laura Olympus on Webtoons and she is very good about like, hey,
first
we
thing
deal
see.
With yeah, yeah, like Laura Olympus deals with these specific relationship toxic, you know, things like that. If you can't handle it, you know, please don't read it. Don't do that to yourself or find someone that can help you through it if you really want to. And that's that's the thing. You have to do what's best for you. Like right now, the lore fandom or the lore webcomic was dealing with stuff I personally couldn't deal with. I'd have a friend read ahead and tell me, you know, what was going to be a good time to come back, when to just binge through and get it over with. That's a healthy way to deal with it. Don't hate the artist because she decides to touch on that subject. I mean, it's her story. That's what she wanted to do.
Yeah, there's no way she would have known, like, to, like, not write this for you. And so you can't be so self-centered to think that, like, it's not always about you.
Exactly. And it's, when a content creator is creating content, they're really doing it for themselves.
Yes.
Like, at the end of the day, they were like, oh, God, I really want to see this happen. I can make it happen. And then they did it.
And they're sharing it because they know that there's other people out there, or they want to find those other people out there to share it with them.
Yeah.
If you've encountered something that whatever they made didn't resonate with you, that's fine. Just keep on moving.
Yeah.
Because there's plenty of people who will find it and it'll be fine.
So if you were to revisit a toxic fandom, was there something you would do differently?
I think that now I would probably be a little bit less vocal because I would just let stuff roll off my back more.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I would post more or less, but it would just kind of be like, okay, people can do whatever they want to do. And I'm just going to keep posting mostly for me. And I guess probably just delete comments I don't like or block people.
I feel like, if I'm remembering correctly, it took a little bit for fanfiction.net to be able to delete or block comments anyway. So that was also an issue. And I think now that there are ways to hide the negative comments, you know, delete it, block it, I think that does make it a little bit easier to go back to something that...
Yeah,
you know
what I think even...
Don't read the comments.
Also. I always read the comments. But more recently, with the Yuri on Ice incident at Anime Fest, I actually did have an opportunity, and I didn't really fully speak to it when I met one of the people who I'd had a lot of negative feelings about. But I was able to hear their side of the story, and I think that hearing that at least put me in the headspace of okay, I can see in at least what they're telling me where they were coming from. And it was so far behind me, and it was actually at another event to get a different creator's autograph, and we were both able to get them and to have more of a fandom moment over that show that I felt it didn't happen for me with Yuri on Ice, but it totally happened for me with Banana Fish, and that creating the other good fandom memory, even with that same person, was a really healthy experience.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I could have predicted that would happen, but it certainly, I hope that... that person also got some healing out of that, and that some of their negative experiences from Yuri on Ice was able to go away.
And that's an important thing to think of, too. Maybe try it in another fandom. Get autographs or get whatever you didn't get in an old fandom in a new one, because it may happen a lot easier, a lot better for you.
You can create the space you want if you're moving somewhere else.
Make good memories for yourself.
Yeah.
You can follow an artist across the U.S. and get his autograph tattooed onto your arm if you believe in it. Because I sure do.
This is more something... Okay, so I'm an educator and I've done adult students as well as younger students. And I was once in a situation where younger students were causing problems and texting each other problematic things, and there was bullying. So we did phone jail.
Mm-hmm.
So literally your phone got taken away and locked in a thing. Mm-hmm. And you didn't get it back for a while. And at first they cry. And then suddenly, you heal a little. Sometimes you gotta get away from your phone for a bit.
Yeah.
And I think more adults need to give themselves phone jail.
Social media breaks. Social media breaks.
You can live without it for a few days. You're gonna be okay. And just clear your head.
Because you don't know those people. They don't matter.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Social media, I mean, we've all heard it. It has definitely changed things in the world. And I mean, it's both good and bad, though.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think it's important, it's the same with fandoms, to recognize that there is still the good in it, not just highlight all the bad.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Even in the fandoms you hate, there are good people.
There are. Yeah. There really are. And I mean, that's where you just have to do the thing. If it's just too unhealthy for you to find those people, then fine, leave. But otherwise, you can... do things to make your way towards them.
You don't always have to interact. Sometimes just being able to watch the show or read the manga or draw your art, your fic.
If you're doing it
for yourself, being able to post it is another great step because you can get some validation out of it. But sometimes just the act of creating it is what we should be striving to create and not just to post.
I mean, on the one level, yes, validation does help. It does make you feel more confident to keep doing things, but don't make it be the only reason you do something.
Okay.
I mean, I've written so many, things that I just don't post out there, but I just wanted it to happen, so you just do it.
Yep.
I mean, it just feels good, So, yeah, I think that's about how we sum it up, It's all about finding what you feel is healthy for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And doing the things that are necessary to keep yourself healthy. Don't purposely go into the tags that you know are going to trigger you.
Mm-hmm.
That's, at the end of the day, that's all you can do.
And try not to cancel people.
Yeah, don't put yourself in debt just to be able to have things.
Yeah.
You know, just
make sure you pay your rent and have some grocery money and toilet paper money.
And these sound like, you know, oh, well, duh, obviously. But I mean, there are people who just forget to do that. So these are just healthy, helpful reminders to live first.
Tips from adults.
Yeah. Yes.
Never be the person that is the reason why people say, and this is why we can't have nice things.
Yeah. Exactly. Don't be that. Don't be the picture in the dictionary definition. No. You don't want to be that person. Nope. So, yeah. Yep. And then I think we did talk about doing a second part of this that does focus on cosplay.
Yeah, so clearly from the length of this podcast, we have a lot of feelings about fandom in general. And so we're going to be doing a cosplay-specific episode, and we're also planning an Eat a Bag-specific episode, which will touch on more than just the problems in fandom and how we feel. It'll be kind of like an Eat a Bag introduction. And then the cosplay one, we're actually going to be able to bring in some of our cosplay group members so they can talk about, you know, like what it's like being cosplayers, being women, being queer women cosplayers, cosplaying in the BL sphere, and they're veterans. And they've run and done cosplay contests, so it'll be a lot of really good discussion from the cosplay perspective, because that is a whole other side of fandom that we can only barely touch on.
Coming up on the 801.
Next month we will have the Yabai list. Gonna be reading a lot of these 2020 favorites. Thank you for listening to this episode of the 801. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.